This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast on the 13th of August, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. With the news today, it's C.J. Miller and Greg Allen. Welcome to the team. They'll have an update on the farm labor shortage, and there are new rules from EPA on diesel exhaust fluid system failures. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has the Indiana farm forecast. Lingering clouds, possibly more moisture today. And yesterday was the release of the USDA August crop report. The corn market didn't like the acreage number, while soybean futures did. Arlen Suderman explains on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com. Or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
What it may end up taking to fix the ag labor crisis and EPA relaxing its rules regarding diesel-powered trucks and farm equipment. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by the Farm Progress Show. What will your operation look like tomorrow? Find the future of farming today at the upcoming Farm Progress Show, where progress meets possibility. Learn more at farmprogressshow.com. Well, you've been hearing us talk for quite a while now about ag labor reform. Greg Allen is our new reporter here at Hoosier Ag Today, as he reports from Keystone Cooperative's Co-op Classic Tuesday in Newcastle about solutions to the ag labor crisis.
Every year, crops worth billions are left unharvested, not because of weather or pests, but because there aren't enough workers to pick them. The problem? A severe shortage of farm labor, especially seasonal workers. According to Dwayne Simpson, the new president and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, it will take President Trump going to Congress and telling them to fix it.
This isn't something that the members of Congress are going to lead on. There are some great champions in Congress that are leading here, but the reality is that the overall membership of the Congress is going to wait to make sure that they don't get hung out to dry by social media and those types of places. They want to make sure the president is committed and driving this agenda. So it's going to take the president. The president has said all the right things. He understands this issue very well. And frankly, he has more credibility on this issue than any other person in Washington or in the states anywhere. And so, you know, it's going to take his leadership, and we're hopeful that he's going to do it.
Experts warn that the labor crisis could lead to higher food prices and increased reliance on imported produce. Lawmakers on both sides have proposed reforms, but so far, no permanent solution is in sight. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today.
Ever wonder what's next for agriculture? Farm Progress Show has your answers. Experience 3 days of cutting-edge equipment, hands-on demonstrations, and technology that'll transform your operation. Network with industry leaders and fellow farmers who understand your challenges. This isn't just a show. It could be your competitive advantage for seasons to come. Register today at farmprogressshow.com and enter code RADIO25 to save $10 on tickets. Farm Progress Show, where progress meets possibility. Farmprogressshow.com.
Well, new rules have been rolled out by EPA to prevent sudden speed and power losses in diesel-powered trucks and farm equipment caused by diesel exhaust fluid system failures, also known as DEF.
This was one of the top issues discussed by farmers and ranchers at a roundtable I attended in Guyton, Georgia in May, and one I continue to hear about in my travels throughout the United States.
And that's Lee Zeldin, administrator of the EPA, who announced the new rules on Tuesday.
For farmers, truckers, and diesel vehicle operators, they've had to incorporate power loss and other issues caused by selective catalytic reduction systems that use DEF into their everyday life. When DEF runs out, or if a sensor fails, vehicles are programmed to automatically lose significant speed and power, leaving farmers stranded during harvest season and truckers stuck while transporting America's goods.
The EPA is now allowing manufacturers manufacturers to revise the DEF system software on existing vehicles to prevent immediate severe slowdowns.
The frustration with DEF has been nearly universal. These modifications provide more flexibility and reliability without compromising air quality or emissions reductions.
Read more about the specifics of these new rules at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. I'm hoping you picked up some moisture that you wanted yesterday. I'd be willing to bet that most of you were saying, yeah, could have used a lot more. I hear you. And maybe, if you're lucky, you can get just a little more. However, I think a large part of the Hoosier State is mostly dry or drying down here today. We do have some lingering cloud cover, particularly over the eastern half of the state, and that cloud cover may lend itself to another round of scattered shower development here this afternoon into early evening, especially if you find yourself in east to central parts of Indiana. But the entire eastern half of the state can see just a little bit more moisture. I want to stress the little bit part, and just like yesterday's action was somewhat widely scattered, I think anything that happens here later today is going to be scattered at best. We clear out completely for everyone as we move through the overnight, and we look for a fully sunny and dry finish to the week for your Thursday and your Friday. Temperatures easing back a little bit, but not cool by any stretch of the imagination, and humidity values will stay elevated through the end of the week. The weekend also sunny and dry at this point. No major weather issues for Saturday. Sunday may see some clouds increase in northern parts of Indiana as some shower and thunderstorm action comes out of the upper Midwest and Great Lakes and tries to move in. I feel that most of this is going to be during the day on Monday. Monday and then Tuesday as well, we see hit and miss scattered showers and thunderstorms. Hit and miss action is going to be around probably through all of midweek, where we can see anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain, depending on thunderstorms. That's the difference with next week versus this week. I think next week has a much better chance at strong to severe thunderstorm activity coming out of the upper Midwest and drifting down over Indiana. That means northern Indiana probably is on the hook for a better chance than central and south. But let's not split hairs yet. Plenty of time for tracks of systems to change. The second half of next week, Thursday, Friday, cooler, less humid, and dry. And we're going to be seeing that cool air give us a precursor of what's to come the following week. That last full week of August looks like we see temperatures drop significantly below normal, and we see humidity values drop as well. Should see that happen without a lot of precipitation either. I do think, though, that that's just a nice little respite. It's not going to cause any problems. We're not talking about brutal cold or anything like that. So get any thought of that out of your head. It's just going to be a nice, comfortable finish to the month, almost like we started the month of August, right? Bookend it with some very nice weather conditions. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold. Grains lower and a rally by the bean market after the USDA update. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. It was the August crop report and the markets did react. We have numbers coming up. First, reaction from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. I spoke with him at the end of the session. The market reaction to USDA on Tuesday, the August crop report, was obvious. Bearish in corn, bullish on beans. And Arlen, let's start with soybean acreage. There was a big, probably surprising change there for soybeans.
Yeah, we'll get to the yields in a little bit, but I think the biggest surprise for the markets was the acreage change. I think it had priced in high yields, even higher than the average trade guess. We call them the whisper numbers, and I think those whisper numbers were pretty close to the yields that came out. But the acreage was a surprise. USDA apparently didn't pick up on this with its June 30th acreage survey. Instead, it showed up in the FSA numbers that it received of farmer certifications, and that was a 2.5 million acre decline in soybean acres and 2.1 million acre increase in corn. I could have understood, in fact, I anticipated we would see a decrease in soybean acreage just simply because of the late wheat harvest and so therefore a lack of double crop acreage. But this suggests that it was earlier than that, simply missed acreage because it got planted to corn. You don't not plant soybeans for double crop and decide you're going to plant corn. So it had to have been earlier in the year. USDA missed it earlier, and now we show that big acreage shift. And so that really amplified then the increase in corn production, while the higher soybean yield helped soften the blow from the lower soybean acreage.
Arlen Suderman with us. Arlen, react to the yield numbers, what you thought of what USDA had to say there.
USDA's corn yield came in at 188.8 bushels per acre. That's just slightly above our estimate that came from our customer survey of 188.1, which was the highest in the industry as far as the pre-report estimates on corn. On soybeans, it came in at 53.6, which matched our customer survey exactly. The average trade guess for these crops was 184.4 and 52.9. So it came in well above the average trade guesses, but pretty close to where we're at. These yields are as of August 1. And as you know, when it's in August and early September, those yield expectations are changing. I did go back and look at the last 32 years of history, going back to 1993. USDA has increased their corn yield with the August report 17 times. So I've always said, big crops get bigger. That's commonly said in the marketplace. So I look back, how many times did the bigger crop get bigger? And so how did that higher August yield compare to the final January yield? Well, it went up 5 times. So out of the 17 times it raised it in August, it only went up again to the final yield 5 times. It matched it in January once, and the final yield came in lower than the August yield in years when they increased in August 11 out of those 17 years. So this very well may be the highest yield that we deal with.
Ending stocks, thoughts on those numbers?
Ending stocks for corn came in at 2.1 billion bushels. USDA really pushed the demand target here to try to soften the blow. They added about 250 million bushels to his feed estimate. They added 200 million for exports. They added 100 million for ethanol. I think the challenge there, though, is going to be this. To justify the higher export number, you have to look at the fact that there's 30,000 head of cattle that were coming north out of Mexico per week to be fed in the United States that are not coming north right now because of the New World screwworm. The border is closed. So that corn that was going to feed the cattle in U.S. feedlots is being exported to Mexico to feed them down there. That justifies the increase in exports, but that also reduces the feed usage. So rather than cut its feed usage, it increased its feed usage by 250 million bushels. However, I don't expect USDA to alter that feed usage number till the January stocks report. And I think it's probably hoping that the yield estimate comes down before then so they have the leeway to do so.
I think you've said it in the past. This is the August crop report. These are the numbers that we have to go on. So this is what the trade will work with. But how long will the trade work with this? Or does it quickly move on from this report?
I think if it had not been for the acreage change, we might have actually confirmed a low in the corn market today. But the fact that we had that acreage surprise pushed us below chart support levels, and that the momentum traders just came in and the momentum continues now to the downside. I've heard a number of farmers complain on X, formerly Twitter, that this is hurting them right now because USDA printing this high number. I understand that. I get that. But the other side of that coin is last year we saw the low put in August, and then it rallied into February. And in essence, what it did is it reduced the crop revenue insurance payments. Whereas here, if we have the low prices hold through October, that can help increase crop revenue insurance depending on yield and price and how that plays out. So we'll have to see how this market plays out. The current focus is on the supply side of the market. Next up is next week's Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Once the market is comfortable with the size of the crop, whatever that may be, then it'll shift its focus to the demand. And for corn, those demand numbers look strong. And for soybeans, supplies look tight, so that'll continue to be the focus there.
Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. On the Hat Tuesday Market Review, the final numbers, corn went lower. It was down before the report, and that selling expedited after the report. September corn, 371.5, down 13.5 cents. December, 394.5, a loss of 13.25. But September beans, 10.12¾, a gain of 21 after a mild sell-off before the report. Novi contract goes 21.5 cents higher, 10.32¾. September wheat, 505, that was down an even dime. The meat market's mixed. October live cattle, 229.02, up 292. And October lean hogs, 91.60, down 17. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.